Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Brian.
Is this okay, by the way? Oh, sorry, what?
Is what okay?
No, nothing. Nothing.
Is it okay for you to just... What's going on, dear?
Nothing.
We're statting.
I know. I just didn't have my coffee. Usually I have it before the episode, and I didn't today. So I was just making sure it was okay if I had it now.
Oh, it's definitely okay. I mean, I need you perky and ready to go.
I know. I need, it's time to
shine. That means it's going
to
be a few minutes before you're ready for showtime, is what that means.
No, I put on my tap shoes, so
just to get me more. Oh, do you have tap shoes?
You know, I used to. I had to take tap in college. Literally, it was required. And I always ran late to tap class. And most of the time, I ended up putting my tap shoes on and running to Union Square in my tap shoes.
In your tap shoes.
Yep.
As opposed to changing them at the venue.
Exactly. I would just run in my tap shoes, in gym shorts and a t-shirt.
I love this. I love the sound. That, you know what? That wouldn't look strange at all in Union Square.
No, really. Yeah. It's all students.
That's
anyway.
That's the sort of thing that happens in Union Square.
Somebody
running by in tap shoes.
Yeah.
Were you a good tapper?
No, I was one of the worst.
Why did they make you take tap?
I don't know. It was like a full 8-week course of it that they made us do. It was like that and then like regular movement classes, but like I don't understand. Have you ever tap danced?
No.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Heel, toe,
exactly.
Heel, toe, heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you never knew your foot could move so many different ways.
Well, I would think mine couldn't, to be honest with you.
Right.
I would get confused with the, I don't think I could keep it going. I could probably get a run going for a little while, but I don't think I could keep it going. I think if I tapped, I think I'd either, I just think I would fall out of rhythm immediately.
You would be one of those expert tappers though, who ankles up. No, really, I guess more like hips up. You would sort of seem like you weren't really doing all that much. And then legs down, it would be like a show.
Well, that's the whole idea, isn't it?
I know. Yes, it is, but yeah. Not for me. I was like flailing all the time, but I feel like you would just keep, I could see you with a cigarette hanging on your mouth and a black turtleneck and some leggings and just like dazzling. But on the top, you could walk right by you and you wouldn't know what you were doing.
Well, now
if you were at a lunch counter.
Now I'm going to work on a tap routine for our live show. Whenever we do our live show. I want to do the exact Bob Fosse routine that you just suggested, that I would have.
That's just what it
a
is.
A cigarette hanging out of my mouth, and down below I'd be Catherine Zeta-Jones. You know she's an expert tapper.
Well, I know she shuffled off to Buffalo in that movie she did, Chicago.
She was a dancer as a child. That's how she got her stat. She was a child actor, and she was a dancer. She was a hoofa, as they say.
That's very. She has always reminded. She always seems like she was born too late, because that to me sounds like vaudeville. She
yes.
seems like she's an old-fashioned showgirl.
Well, she's Welsh, and so she might be born too late for the modern world.
Right.
But for her time. Also, she's at least 75.
She's gotta be.
I mean, I don't know if she's turned 50 yet, according to IMDb or whoever, but she's been turning, you know, 43 for at least 17 years.
Granted, I was much younger, but I remember when she came on the scene, I remember thinking like, this is a woman. Like, this isn't like an ingenue.
Oh, yeah.
This is like...
Yeah. She grew up, she's like a circus person who grew up behind the scenes, and her first boyfriend was probably 32 when she was 14. And,
right.
You know, she was a full grown woman.
There was no way she wasn't going to be a star.
Correct.
Well, that was her. She had a plan.
If she had anything to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She married Michael Douglas.
Yeah, by the way, which was also a plan.
But that tells you what era she identifies with if she married Michael Douglas.
She is, you know what movie I watched the other day, Rana?
What?
Did, Did you ever see a movie called The Last Seduction?
Of course.
With Linda Fiorentino?
Directed by John Dahl.
Yeah, who's that? Yeah.
Very talented director. He did a bunch of movies in the late 90s. So he did The Last Seduction, and he did, what was the other one? Linda Fiorentino was in it also.
Oh, was it Jade?
Well, he may have directed that, but that wasn't his.
Okay.
And then he did Rounders with Matt Damon.
Set in Boston, right?
It's shot in New York, so I feel like it was in New York, but maybe it was set in Boston. I can't remember. And then he didn't do too much after that, but he had a real burst where he was like a real Miramax director, where everybody wanted to be in one of his noir pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what made me think of it, but I don't know, for some reason.
What made you watch it?
I think I was scrolling through, and I remember a lot of noise about that movie back in the day and about her.
Yeah.
And you don't really, I mean, I think she's one of those, sadly, that just sort of came and went, which is unfortunate because she's so good in this movie.
Yeah, she's very good.
And I didn't love the ending. It gets a little crazy, but she's so good in this movie. She's so mean and sexy and cool and... She looks like a tap dancer. I guess that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, maybe because she's wearing black pantyhose or something through the whole
movie. She does. She wears black pantyhose the whole movie.
Yeah.
You like basically never see her bare legs.
There you go.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of updates today.
We have so many updates. Rana, by the way, I don't care if it's gauche or too much. Okay. I want to say this, and you're going to get mad at me. Follow us on fucking Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at Ask Rana. Okay? Yeah. I'm asking you to do it because it's, first of all, if there's more on that Instagram than you think. But second of all, it is my personal responsibility to get this account verified and we just don't have the numbers. And Rana, I apologize because I do actually feel like this has been a blind spot for me because I told you I had the hookup and it turns out I have no hookups. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram.
Well, you are really the social media maven for sure around here. And, you know, I guess I thought we were just going to live in the bask in the reflected glow of your social media stardom. And that doesn't seem to be happening.
You know what, Rana?
I will say this. We work very hard on the Instagram. We're putting things up all the time.
It's the carousel. Yes.
We put the free feed 5, which we want to, I don't know if people really understand what that is. But we've been doing this thing where we put up 5 minutes of the free feed episode called the Free Feed 5. So we post that on our Instagram and people can see that. The point is none of that. I mean, honestly, the Instagram's great. You should check it out. The point is this.
Lots of bonus content.
If you don't want to hear me ask about the Instagram, if you don't want to hear me talk about the Instagram, the quickest way to shut me up is to go and follow us.
Yeah.
Just what is it? It takes 2 seconds. Click, click. You're done. And then I'll stop asking. But
it's that easy.
I need that check mark. I do. Because I can't run a business like this. I just can't.
It's truly the same thing as saying make your bed.
Swipe up. Some people can do swipe. Think about that.
I know. You
think
of
about
all people.
That other people can do swipe up and I can't do swipe up.
You know what I would love to do though, Rana?
I just got so depressed even talking about it.
I can't wait till this is over because you want to know what I really want to see. And maybe you could put this on the Instagram. Yeah, I would love to see your perfectly manicured hands swipe up. I would just love to see it.
Well, once I'm able to swipe up, I will do a video of me swiping up. How does that sound? That's what I promise you.
Good.
That's my promise to you.
We've been waiting.
Okay, we have a bunch of follow-ups here.
Oh, we do. We have some good ones, too. So for those of you who don't remember by the way, people loved LaMorne, as did I, but people couldn't get enough. They loved his advice. They loved the three of us together. It was a fun episode. But
he's such a lovable character, yeah.
So lovable, and also clearly inspired a bunch of follow-ups. And this one was from Cody Finger, who wrote the one about his mean grandma.
Oh, the worst grandma.
The worst grandma. He's a flight attendant. He wasn't sure about telling her whether to cash the $100 check she gave him, even though he hates her.
A regional flight attendant.
Well, that's what you said, Rana. We're going to see if that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is what Cody says. I did end up calling my grandma. I'll admit I needed a couple drinks to get my courage up, but the call went fine. She gossiped about my dad, aunt, and sister Alosia.
Alyssa.
Right. But right.
She calls her Aloja. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
And I lied about, I know it's so good. And I lied about having to go because I had to be up early to work a flight so that I could get off the phone ASAP. Smart. I didn't end up telling her I was gay, which I can assure you she has no clue of.
Okay, Cody Finger.
Because she moved to East Texas and at this point is so removed from the family that her knowing is more trouble than it's worth. I also cashed the birthday check.
She doesn't know because she doesn't talk to anyone in the family, Cody. That's right. Not why she doesn't know. She knows because she knows.
Listen.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Okay. I also cashed the birthday check. Lamorne was right about needing every penny as a flight attendant right now.
Oh, wonderful.
And Rana, this I actually cannot believe. Rana was spot on about me being a regional flight attendant.
Of course.
Don't know how she guessed that. Pardon me. She will definitely be around. This is about the grandmother. She will definitely be around for another 50 years minimum. And by the way, so will Rana. And while she isn't a drinker, I'm pretty sure she has a preference for pills. Thanks again for your help and advice. And I'm having a great time in the carriage house. And I can't wait to taste that. Get ready, Rana. Scrumptious coffee.
Scrumptious.
Scrumptious. Scrumptious.
Scrumptious.
Kiss, kiss, Cody Finger. Rana, what tipped you off? Do you remember in your brain, what tipped you off to regional?
These were regional problems.
Oh my God.
And Cody's maturity level was a regional maturity level.
I am. You know what, Rana? I'm so used to your mind at this point.
Yeah.
That it seems like you're getting more and more specific in your guesses. And so the point is, I didn't think I could be stunned any longer, but this one actually did stun me.
How could that stun you? That was the most obvious thing, that he was a regional flight attendant. Also, he's 23, so he's sort of I guess not.
That's
some
true.
People start when they're younger. They start at 18 or whatever.
Right.
But you could just tell. These were regional issues that Cody was dealing with, in my opinion. If he was doing, first class on whatever, United,
Air,
or British Airways,
United.
Swiss.
Yeah.
Oh, don't remind me about first class on Swiss Air. Yeah.
Please, everyone, go back to that episode because you'll be living in a fantasy when you close your eyes.
It is worth hearing about. Yeah. But who was that guest that week? I can't remember, but boy, I gave a real blow-by-blow of first class on Swiss Air.
Yeah.
Because they have the same La Premier product as Air France. But in any event, you could just tell Cody had not risen above that kind of conflict just yet.
Yeah.
What can I say? Sometimes I get a feeling about things, and generally it's right.
Well,
but I think that's wonderful that he had a nice phone call. He had enough of a nice call with his grandmother that he could cash the check.
Exactly.
And he could feel fine about it.
Totally.
And I think it's always a good idea to have a reason to get off the phone. No one said you have to stay on the phone.
Oh, boy. No
you should
kidding.
Always have an out on the phone.
It's
someone
true.
Like that. No question.
It's true. We got another follow-up. Would you like to read it, Rana?
Sure, why not?
Why not?
This was from Confused Friend. This was also on the Lemoyne episode. Now, this was the girl that said she had plans with a friend of hers is really an acquaintance, called her to have plans. And that girl always cancels on her at the last minute. And what is she supposed to do about it? They're not exactly good friends anyway, but they hang out. And this girl called her at 5:30 and canceled on her.
Yeah.
And so what was she going to do? And you suggested, you and Lemoine both together suggested they go hiking very far away. She make a date to go hiking very far away.
Or an abandoned cornfield.
And then she stake her out.
Yes.
Dressed as Pennywise the Clown.
Well, that was my suggestion.
And then there was something about it incorporating a small child. I can't remember.
Well, at one point a child could run up to the middle of the cornfield while the woman is waiting for the friend.
Sure.
And the child could say, run. Or get out of here.
Okay. In any event, the question was this woman really her friend? And if it didn't, we said, if it doesn't bother you, then you can still keep making plans with her. But it obviously does bother you because you wrote us a letter.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering my question today. What a thrill. I appreciate the permission to avoid plans. I've been hesitant to do so because we are actually in our mid-30s, shocking, I know, and former colleagues, and she is the only unmarried friend I have left. All my other closer friends have kids and husbands, so it's nice to have someone who, like me, seemingly doesn't have as many obligations for getting together. And I guess I've just struggled with my expectation of someone in her situation, which is the same as mine, and her behavior. I'll let you know if anything develops, but since I'm not setting things up, who knows when that will be. Kiss, kiss, confused friend.
What does it mean? I guess I've just struggled with my expectation of someone in her situation. What does that mean? Just that she expects more because this woman is single?
I think it's a good question, because to be honest with you, this letter is more confusing than the first letter.
It's really confusing, yeah.
You are confused, friend, because this is a confusing letter.
It is.
I think she feels sensitive about the fact that she's still single, obviously, and that no. Right. I mean, I don't know whether she doesn't want to be single, but she feels sensitive about the fact that her other friends' lives have changed and hers has
and
not.
And it's probably magnified now.
Yes. And so I think when that friend calls for plans, she's sort of jumping to the occasion, saying, great, I'd love to meet for brunch.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have anyone else, too many other people in the Rolodex to have brunch with.
Yep.
And then when that friend cancels, it makes her feel like she was desperate for saying yes in the first place.
I see.
Well, does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I could even get
feeling
that.
I mean, I'm making
that.
This up. I'm completely making this
up. No, but I think whether you're making it up or not, I think that is a thing that people feel.
So then
like
she
you do
feels
sometimes
exposed.
Feel like a loser. Exactly. But, you know, feelings aren't facts. But I get the feeling. I felt like that too. When I'm like, wow, I was really eager and now I feel like a loser, you know? But
that's kind of about sitting with how you feel about where you are in your life as opposed to projecting it onto this friend who you're seeing as in the exact same situation as you or having the same attitude towards all of this as you.
And also you had three people on here objectively saying that this actually is bad behavior on her part.
Yeah.
So really you shouldn't feel, I hope you can rid yourself of your complicated feelings. You're feeling like a loser if she cancels because this seems to be more her issue than yours.
I think she feels like more of a loser for saying yes to her. And for being in a position in her life where she has to say yes to her because she doesn't have anyone else to hang out with.
Got it.
As opposed to, it's more about what this friend symbolizes in her life than it is about this person who's obviously a flake and not.
That she's like, great, I have to deal with
not
these
even
scraps.
That fun. Yeah. That's how she feels about her situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That her options are kind of reduced at the moment.
Right.
But as Brian said, I mean, that's just how you feel about it. That doesn't mean that's what's going on. You really need to take a little look at why that bothers you. And if you want to change your, I mean, this is such a hard time to change one's life when it comes to personal relationships and things like that. Though all these celebrities are getting divorced left and right.
Is that true? Who?
All very minor ones.
Okay, but still.
Rachel Lee Cook, Megan Fox, Jordana Brewster. You know, everybody in that tier.
By the way, Megan Fox and Jordana Brewster could be doppelgangers from behind. They're sort of like brunettes, active figures. No,
never been more out of your mind in your life. Megan Fox is a bombshell that should paint and put on an airplane.
And Jordana Brewster is like
Jordana
an action
Brewster
star.
And Terry Hatcher could be from behind the same.
Maybe, but Terry
Hatcher.
Those
are those skinny, long people, the people with the long arms and legs. And Jordana Brewster really isn't curvy. She's really one of those more of like a horsey person.
You know what, though? I think she's so pretty. And I also think I love her. I truly love her name so much. I think it's so cool.
Jordana Brewster.
Did you ever see a movie called The Faculty? It was not good.
Was Sarah Michelle Gellar in that?
It was that. She wasn't, but it was that.
Yeah.
It was like Elijah Wood.
Was Neve Campbell in it?
No, but it was also that.
Yeah. So what was it about?
It was about a group of teachers who were becoming zombies and the kids had to fight back.
Oh.
And so the teachers were John Stewart, Bebe Neuwirth, the mother from Carrie, whose name I can't remember, Piper Laurie. It was, that cast was great. And the kids were like Elijah Wood and Clea DuVall and Jordana Brewster. Yeah.
Fascinating.
It was.
You're recommending that?
No. But okay. Yeah.
So Last Seduction in that. Are you recommending Last Seduction?
You know, I will say the last 15 minutes really bothered me because it just took a turn that it didn't need to and it was obnoxious. But I would say up until the very end, which is, of course, the part of the movie you want to see, she's so great in this movie and such a sociopath, and it was fun to watch her.
I'm trying to remember what the other movie he did that was such a big deal. I'm going to look it up right now.
What's this? Is he related to Roald Dahl?
No. Oh. I don't think so. I think he's from Montana or somewhere.
Did you know that Roald Dahl was like super anti-Semitic, Rana?
Of course I knew that.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
While you're looking that up, do you want me to read a review?
He was an angry old man. So he's doing a lot of TV now. He's doing that Yellowstone show with...
Which, did you know that Yellowstone's like the number one show on cable?
It's the biggest show in the world. I've never seen it, but I will say this. I do love Kevin Costner.
I know you do. And I didn't know that, except I know that you do.
He's a very good actor, Kevin Costner.
Is he?
He's a star. He's a movie star.
You're taking it too far.
Absolutely. You're taking it too close is what you're doing. When was the last time you watched Kevin Costner in something? And don't say Hidden Figures.
That was the last time.
Yeah.
And by the way, I actually thought he was very good.
He's great in Hidden Figures.
But that's the best I think he's ever been.
Well, then you haven't gone back to watch any old Kevin Costner. Have you seen No Way Out?
Years ago.
Yeah, he's terrific.
And really, I watched that for Sean Young.
There was no one ever crazier than Sean Young. What about The Bodyguard? You must have loved him in The Bodyguard.
Again, I loved her in The Bodyguard.
Red Rock West, that was the other one. It had Nicolas Cage. So there was a sort of, he did a Val Kilmer movie, Kill Me Again, then Red Rock West, then The Last Seduction.
He's and very then, 90s.
Yes, and then Rounders. And then it gets a little muddy after that. And he kind of goes into TV after that.
My friends, can I tell you a joke?
Of a time.
Can I tell you a joke, but we'll probably edit it out?
Sure.
My friend T.S. Madison, she's on Instagram and everything. She lives in Atlanta. She put a joke the other day that I actually could not believe. She was talking about how hot it is in Atlanta. And she said, oh my God, it's hotter than a spoon in Bobby Brown's house.
Wow. I mean, pre-Whitney's death, that would have been a pretty good joke.
I know.
That is funny, though.
It was very funny.
Very funny.
Okay.
We have to laugh. We have to laugh. Okay.
All right. Should we read some reviews?
Let's read a couple of reviews.
Oh, well, this was interesting.
How's your coffee, by the way? That's what I
want to know. Oh my God, it's so...
What are you having today?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've started using this mug and... Exactly. And so I've started icing my coffee in here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, for people that can't see, Brian and I are drinking out of just the most perfect vessel you've ever seen.
Do you want to know why I like it iced in here, Rana? Because this is actually very 90s. It builds up a sweat on the lips. And that reminds me of like body heat.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to put iced coffee in my Kiss Kiss mug.
Yeah, it's very sexy.
Fabulous.
Yep.
Okay, read us our reviews.
Sure, forget that. So, someone wrote in, Jeremy Haffey. No, Jarama.
I don't know. They'll know who they are.
You'll tell me if this is an insult or a compliment. Brian would make a great first lady. Think about it. Wouldn't you trust Ronna Glickman to have the wisdom, intellect, and sound mind to be president? The only thing that could make this fantasy even better is imagining Brian as an honorary first lady. Can you imagine? I'd vote for that. Brian, what cause would you take up as honorary first lady? Five star spangled podcasting, kiss, kiss. Now, Ronna, do you think that's a compliment or an insult?
Well, I don't think it's an insult.
I guess because it depends on the first lady.
Yeah. I mean, think about Michelle Obama.
Absolutely.
And think about Jackie O. I don't think he's saying you're Melania.
I would. You know what my cause would be?
What would your cause be?
I mean, it would definitely have something to do with the arts.
Yeah. Tap dancing. You could do your tap dancing.
And I would really want to be I would do my tap dancing, and I would really want to be like when Jackie brought in Pablo Casal to play the cello. I would want that moment.
Yeah. You would just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dazzle them. I'm going to drop all their jaws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the only problem is the styling. Yeah, I don't know what I would do.
You hire a staff for that. That's what they all do. You have a whole staff. You have a social secretary. You have a decorator. I've met the woman that decorates the White House. She's been doing it for years, although they probably, the way it looks now, they got somebody else in there.
Doesn't it look like the end of Suspiria now that you've seen it?
Absolutely. When I went to, it looks worse though, because Suspiria, if they could get, you could hire their production designer and you could say, I want you to be my designer. But when I went to the, Hanukkah party, the White House Hanukkah party with the Obamas,
right?
I met the decorator. And I mean, I'm telling you, you see these, you know, they have a Christmas orb. What do you call that? An ornament that's 25 feet tall. And you know, the place looks incredible. I mean, they really put on a show.
That's great.
I think you'd be wonderful. I think you'd be wonderful. And I don't think you'd want all the busy work that came with being president. I would be much better at saying, okay, that's what they want to do. Send a drone in there and blow the whole place up. That would be, I would be better at making those kind of decisions than you would be. Where I'd say, give me the stats. Uh-huh.
You're right.
Can we clear out all the civilians? Sure. We can make sure they're all there.
I would have to take...
Send a drone right up his ass and let me know what happens.
If someone came up to me and said, we have to decide what we're going to do with the conflict and whatever, I would run to the kitchen, grab a frying pan, and knock myself out. There's no way I could handle that.
What if they said, what are we going to do with the conflict at the state dinner? Because the First Lady of Uruguay can't sit next to her husband's mistress. Would you know how to handle that?
I would go like this. Rana... There's an issue with the seating, and I'm wondering what you would do.
I'd love to hear about that, but I'm dealing with the war in Yemen at the moment. I'm making sure there's enough COVID tests in South Dakota.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I would say to the staff, you know, I truly don't think she cares about what I do here. That's what I would say.
She doesn't see how hard I'm working. Yeah. No, you'd be a wonderful
president. Ronna, you would be a great president.
I think I'd be a better senator. Actually, I'd be a better president because there's less legislation.
It's more just
about making decisions.
Exactly. I think
and getting the right people on the job.
Yep.
If we've learned anything in the last 4 years, it's that anyone can be president.
Isn't that great?
Isn't it wonderful? All of those little jokes where little kids say they want to grow up and they want to be president and everyone thinks, isn't that cute? And the answer is, the job is open to anybody.
That's right.
What we've learned.
And you know who really changed the game on that was Sarah Palin. She was the first one for people to realize absolutely anyone could be the president.
You'd also be surprised how few people want the job of being a politician.
That's true. There aren't
that many people that they can find who wanted to be the governor of Alaska, I guess. So that's how they ended up with her.
I guess you're right.
How about AOC the other day? Boy, did she give him a piece of her mind.
Well, good for her. That guy is a monster. What a piece of garbage.
She handled that beautifully.
She did.
Yeah.
I love her more and more and more. She said,
I am not going to sit back and just take that and smile and say, I'm better than that. I am going to humiliate you in front of your wife and your daughters and make sure they understand what kind of man you are. Basically.
See, Ronna, I would want to do that as First Lady. Every now and then, I would want to do a version of AOC or when that person accused Nancy Pelosi being like anti-Christian and she was like, I would just want to live in that orb where I could be like, I don't know, I could just like clap back really fast.
I know. And then I'd be getting phone calls with it. Say, Ronna, we hate to interrupt you in the middle of an important briefing, but Brian's holding a press conference right now.
Yep.
In the Rose Garden,
yep.
And he is not happy.
Yep.
And I would say, what happened? They would say, it had something to do with his plane not being ready or someone saying he wasn't allowed to fly on Marine One without you. Anyway, he's holding a press conference now.
Also, I would get to pick the menus out. So that would be
You fun. Would?
Yeah.
No, I think you'd be a wonderful First Lady.
Thanks, Ron. It's really
I can't wait till it's our turn.
It would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun. Do we have one more?
We have a couple more here?
Okay, let's do a couple more.
Okay. Pod Podoo Dude. gave 5 stars. He's and loves Lamorne. Says
pod dude.
Oh, pod dude.
Yeah.
I love spending 2 days a week with Ron and Brian, Carriage House All Access, excuse me. I've been a huge fan since Ronna was a guest on Throwing Shade, and I'm loving my Ask Ronna coffee. I've been meaning to rate and review for months and just hadn't gotten around to it. Do you follow us on Instagram? Pod dude.
Yeah.
But this week's episode.
Pod dude.
But this week's episode with guest Lamorne Morris made me actually pause in the middle just to write this review. It's the most fun I've had with the podcast in years. Please keep up with the great work and bring back Lamorne frequently. He was fabulous. And finally,
Lamorne has such a following. I mean, he's such a real juggernaut. People are so positive. They love Lamorne. He's a pleasure to be around.
He is. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Totally just a star.
Smart, sensitive. He's got it all.
Lastly,
Six Z's. Yeah.
That's right.
Excuse me.
He wrote a haiku.
Oh,
5 stars.
A haiku review.
Ronna and Brian, your banter is truly great. Thank you for the laughs.
That's it?
I didn't like it.
Oh, well, that's haikus, though. They always leave you.
They always leave you hanging.
They always leave you feeling a little melancholy.
But, you know, thanks for the effort of counting out the syllables and everything.
Yes, and 3 lines, of course.
You have 3 lines. That's right.
Fabulous. All right. So we should get, speaking of fabulous, we should get to our guest today.
This is an international episode.
I love this guy. I mean, everyone knows how I feel about Canada, but I am willing to cross that boundary for this guy.
This is an all-access North American episode.
Yeah. Speaking of, if I was president, I don't know what my relationship would be like with the Prime Minister of Canada, we'd have to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I would have some frustrations there. But I would play nice in front of the cameras. But in any event, we have a wonderful guy. I can't wait to talk to this guy. He's an old friend of mine. And you know who he's really an old friend of is Adam O'Burns, our producer.
Our producer.
And Moose Musselman.
Yeah. Ronna, you talk about Moose Musselman as if I know him. But all you ever say is Moose Musselman, who we know and who is so fabulous. I've never seen a picture. I don't know who this is, but you talk about him like he's one of our closest friends.
You actually have met Moose Musselman.
You're kidding.
Yeah. He came to our record with his husband.
Did he introduce to me as Moose Musselman?
Maurizio.
Okay, now I know who they are. Yes.
Yeah. And that was Moose. He might have been introduced to you as Andrew because that's his first name. But he came and he sat at our record, and that's Moose Musselman.
I know exactly who you're talking about, but if someone had said, hi, I'm Moose Musselman, I know I wouldn't have forgotten.
Moose and Mo.
Is that his husband's name?
Yeah.
That's
Who's
cute.
Adorable. Yeah, they came. They had a blast. They came into the carriage house.
Is the Mo short for homo?
I think he spells it differently.
Okay.
Look at you. That's a Ronna joke, but you made it. That was very free feed. That was
the
a
coffee
real free feed
in.
Joke.
The
things are getting so confusing in the carriage house lately.
Because
things
we've gotten a little naughty over there.
Things have gotten so wild in the carriage house.
Yes.
And I used to think that was just free feed. And now I don't know what's free and what's behind the paywall and what isn't, because things have gotten saucy over there.
Yeah.
We've also completely let the inmates run the asylum because we did the book club. So we do a book club every month on Patreon.
We do, and there's a poll. We let the
audience decide what the book was going to be, which is really against my fascist tendencies. You know, I like to make all the decisions. And so they have some agency over their lives, at least at the moment. And we're still doing our Quarantine International Film Festival. And then, of course, we're doing advice. And what people do is, if they write to us on Patreon, their questions sort of get to the head of the line a little bit.
That's right.
It's a smaller community.
Yes.
Okay. Enough about this. Let's get to our guest, shall we?
Let's do it. Yes.
Okay. Wait a minute, Brian. I got so excited we were doing this swap because I love these two.
I can't get enough of them. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to put it out there. I think the feeling's mutual, Ronna.
Oh, I hope it's true. I absolutely hope it's true. Who are we talking about? Naomi and Andy.
Naomi Ekperigin, Andy Beckerman.
The host of?
Yes. Couples Therapy.
That's the one. The only comedy podcast about relationships featuring some of your favorite comedians, actors, and writers.
Well, let's talk about it. The Kids in the Hall.
Rana, excuse me.
They've been on. Talking about Lorne Michaels. They've been on.
I wouldn't want to miss that.
Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon.
Yeah.
Talking about navigating both the real and fictional relationship.
Excuse me.
They've been on.
And guess who else has been on about 4 dozen times?
Well, because he's constantly trying to negotiate different relationships.
Brian Sapp.
That's right.
You're totally in their whack pack. You're an absolute regular.
I am actually in their whack pack.
I love this podcast. And I love
so
these
great.
Two. And
They're
I think
great.
Our audience, I can't imagine that there are too many people in our audience because our audience has such fabulous taste that haven't already discovered how great this show is with these two. But if you haven't, you've got to head right over there.
No kidding, because they discuss everything from black mama drama to co-parenting cats to the time an old man defecated everywhere on a JetBlue flight and blamed their dog.
And that is not Mabel. I'm sorry, it just isn't. That's
no,
not the
isn't.
Sort of thing Mabel will do.
Mabel's much more dignified than that.
So if you want to love and laugh with the David Bowie and Iman Padme of comedy, download Couples Therapy Podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. New episodes drop every Tuesday, as do ours, so that's sort of easy to remember.
That's true. You could do a double feature.
Love it. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Wait a minute, Brian.
Rana, I have an intro planned.
Oh, go for it.
Ready or not, Christian Brune.
Was that it?
That was what I had.
Am I allowed to speak now?
Yeah, ready, sure.
Ready
oh,
or
great.
Not, here
that
I
That was a
come.
Good intro.
You can't hide.
I have said this throughout the past year that Ready or Not was actually one of my favorite movies last year.
Really?
It is so much fun.
Oh, man. Thank you.
It actually had a cool social message, and it was like 85 minutes. It was like the perfect horror movie.
Yeah, I loved it. It was such an amazing job to work on. It was one of those ones where when we were done filming, we're like, do we have to stop? Can we just keep doing this, please?
And you were so hilarious in it.
Oh, thank you.
Please.
I was going to say, Brian told me to watch this movie, but of course I didn't. I normally do, but I didn't have time.
Yeah, of course.
And so what is this? Tell me what this movie is. And by the way, if your phone is anywhere near your microphone, move it away from there.
I'm going to throw it across the room. So Ready or Not, it's like a thriller, action, horror, comedy flick about a woman who marries into an unnaturally rich family and has to has to go through some crazy ordeals to be accepted into the family or not. And I don't want to give anything away, but it's just like this bloody, crazy, like you said, Brian, like an hour and a half action romp. It's madness.
And it's sort of like a hide and seek.
Yeah, exactly.
And who directed this then?
So it was directed by a couple guys. Radio Silence is kind of the banner that they go under it, Tyler and Matt, and also their partner Chad is sort of a producer on it. But it was kind of like the three of them directing it. And they are known for VHS and some other horror films. And they're actually directing the new Scream movie coming out. So that's their next project. And they're so awesome. They're so much fun.
I do have to say the three names, Tyler, Matt, and Chad together is really aggressive.
It is. I'll be honest. I thought it was going to be a nightmare working with three directors. I was like, this is not a setup for success. And it couldn't have been smoother. They're all so on board with each other. They're the nicest, sweetest guys in the world. So much fun to work with. Always open to suggestions. Always up for improv. It was great.
Were you surprised when Andie MacDowell slid under the fence? She's in this movie.
Yeah, Andie MacDowell is amazing. This is the first horror film that she's ever done. She was so nervous and excited at the same time.
Were you surprised when she slipped under the fence at Griffith Park when she decided that wanted to go for a hike and that shouldn't stop her?
I was going to join her for a hike, and and then I ended up at the last second moving up to British Columbia for the rest of the year and escaping LA, so we didn't get to go on our hike. But I would have slipped under a fence with her. I would have been right there with her.
It was a pretty low limbo, I have to say. I felt like what we learned about her is that she's still very limba, for sure.
Very much so. Even in this film, she had to do some action and fighting, and she was, you know, right there along with the rest of us. So it was pretty
impressive.
So you're
in British Columbia. That's where we're finding you today?
That's right. I'm just north of Vancouver in a town called Squamish, British Columbia, kind of where the ocean meets the mountains. And I'm in quarantine because the Canadian government has a mandatory 14-day quarantine. So I'm just kind of biding my time before I can get out into nature.
Oh, so you've just gone up there?
Yeah, I've been. My 2 weeks will be up on Sunday, so I've got a couple days left. I'm going stir crazy, guys. I'm going crazy.
And have you left the house? You haven't left the house at all. Are you allowed to leave the house?
I'm not allowed to.
Curbside groceries or anything?
Yeah, you can get like food delivery, but you can't leave the property. So
how do they enforce this?
I think they've been tracking my phone. I think they've been pinging the GPS in my phone because my phone battery is like garbage all of a sudden. The second I got here, it like drains super fast. So I'm pretty sure they just track you. But they send you emails telling you, you know, stay inside, here are the protocols, don't hang out with people, wash your hands, wear a mask, blah, 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 blah. But also they threaten you with like 3 years in jail or $1 million fine if you leave the property and get caught.
Interesting.
Oh, can you talk to a moose?
If you can bait a moose to come to your property, you can totally have a conversation with a moose. Moose will not get COVID.
That's good.
Yeah. I bet they're so smooth and soft if you could actually pet one.
I think they're pretty violent and dangerous, though. I've seen a few on canoe trips and driving highway.
They're great boxes. If you've ever
those
seen
are the deer.
Way
the deer will like knock you out like a kangaroo. Moose are just huge,
and
lumbering.
They always try to get into a swing set if they're in a neighborhood. I feel like they
love them.
They love it. I feel like there's so much footage of a moose stuck in a swing set.
Did you see this bear in Mexico City that's been hugging hikers?
No, I have not seen that.
Well, of course, in this day and age, there's a girl, a bear comes over to this woman on a trail puts its arms around her shoulders.
Oh, God.
And she's taking a selfie.
No.
Being terrified, she's taking a selfie of her and the bear. And the bear, 2 days later, was hugging somebody else.
What,
Rana?
What's the worst that could happen? True.
You get mauled. You get shredded by these claws. Bears.
Have you ever been close to a bear? Even a small brown bear?
They're terrifying.
Not close. No.
They're ferocious. I mean, think about.
I've been in a canoe while a bear swam by. I've been on a canoe trip canoeing. And it was like a teenage bear. It was like a medium-sized younger bear. It was swimming from island to island in front of us. And we're like, let's just slow down the canoe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Think about, you would be afraid if a wolverine, I want to leave out of this because they're really they're the most aggressive. But
Hugh Jackman is very aggressive.
If a beaver came near you or anything like that, if it came too close to you, you'd be terrified that thing was going to attack you.
I love beavers. Beavers are adorable. They are our national animal.
Think about how big a bear is.
Oh, massive. Massive. It depends on the type of bear. Like if you are in Ontario and on a canoe trip and it's black bears, they're not as dangerous.
Big.
They're a little bit smaller. Yeah, and they just want food. They just want like garbage. You just don't want to come across a mama bear with cubs because then they get real dangerous.
And
or
black
like
bears
right
are the
after
ones
winter.
That if you see them in the wild, you can ride them?
You cannot ride any bears. No riding bears.
And what about the woman that was also trampled at Yellowstone because she got too close to a bison?
Yeah. Don't mess with bison. They're massive.
But if you've ever been to Yellowstone, you can't understand half of what these people are doing.
Effort to do it. Yeah.
Well, because they really think they're in a zoo.
Right.
Yeah.
And they really think animals are there for their pleasure.
Yeah.
They don't understand that.
I don't think people get nature.
That you need to stay 50 feet away from a bison.
Yeah.
I mean, of course it's going to trample you.
Do you want to know what else is a zoo, Rana?
What?
Hollywood.
Hollywood is a zoo.
Hollywood is a zoo.
Hollywood is a zoo.
But by the way, I also just wanted to say that Ready or Not is on HBO Max. I'm sure it's on other things,
right.
But you can like fully watch it for free. It keeps popping up in my feature.
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Give it a watch, Rana.
I'm going to. Well, you know I'm a big fan of yours, Christian.
Oh, did you? Were stop. You in Orphan Black, Rana? Did you like Orphan Black?
I only watched it for Christian.
Oh, sure.
No, it's a terrific show.
Yeah,
fabulous show, of course. Yeah.
I think that's on Amazon. I think people can watch that on Amazon.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Now, we have a bunch of terrific questions today. We've got to get
great.
Into it.
Yeah,
we're
let's
not
get into
here
it.
To just talk about
people.
Wildlife. And though I have one more question about when you came through customs.
Yeah.
I am really curious about what that actual experience is, because everyone's talking about, oh, if you go here, you have to quarantine and blah, blah, blah. But I don't really know anyone that's had to deal with it.
It's
and I'm very curious
scary.
That you come through. They know where the mm-hmm. flight is coming in from.
Yeah, no,
happens?
I drove. I actually drove 21 hours from L.A. up to British Columbia. So I did it in 2 days. I did like 11 and a half hours the first day and then 8.5 the next day. I stayed somewhere in Oregon on the way up. And the border was empty. It was like all the lanes were closed except for one. And there was two cars ahead of me because only Canadians can go in right now. They're only allowing Canadian citizens. The border is closed otherwise. And it was so empty. It was almost like it was like reaching safety in an apocalypse movie where you're like, oh, I made it to the military border and like the troops are there, except it's Border Patrol. Canadian Border Patrol, super nice. And they're a little bit less threatening than American Border Patrol. And they were good. I mean, it took 10 minutes. They read me the riot act about, you know, like don't go outside of the property. I had a few questions, but they were
they took
all the information.
But they let you pass through the border and continue to your destination.
Yeah, you have to go straight to your destination. You can't make any stops. You can't go and pick up groceries. You have to have groceries waiting for you. Like, that's
but
part
how
of the
do
thing.
They know? I mean, that's just, it's just a
it's
trust
an honor
exercise.
System.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We love rules up in Canada, and we for the most part, we follow them. So, you know, it's they trust
that's
us.
That's how you get out of this mess, is by
following. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Now, Christian, I hope you brought your A game in terms of understanding and in terms of steering people the right way.
Yes, 100%.
Now,
I'll bring a unique Canadian and European perspective. You know, my two citizenships are coming.
What's
coming
your
to
European
the table
citizenship?
Here. I am a Finnish citizen.
Ooh.
Citizen of Finland, part of the EU,
of
Scandinavia.
Of course I knew that.
And
yeah.
they're good now too, right?
They're really good.
Yeah.
They've been like the best, I think, out of this whole thing.
But the Swedes are a disaster, right?
They are a fucking can I swear?
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want.
They are a disaster. I mean, my family is Norwegian, Swedish, and Finnish. But the Swedes are like, no, we don't care. You young people will get it and be fine. And if you're old, you stay home and you might die. So you take care, but the rest of us just keep going. And they have like 10 times the rates and 10 times the deaths. So it's like they're just culling old people in their country.
Yeah,
it's very cruel.
It feels very unlike them, but they just sort of, it's almost like one guy did the math and they said, okay, we'll go with that.
We're done.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we go. We have an international question for our first question.
Excellent.
Hi, Rana, Brian, with a capital Y, excuse me. Every
Thank
now and again,
you.
People show Brian a little extra deference, and they capitalize the Y.
It's a really good feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, some days it is and some days it isn't. What is it today, Brian?
It's a good feeling today. It depends on my mood, but today it's
sometimes he thinks they're honoring him and sometimes he thinks they're making fun of him. And today, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Listen, with someone with a weird name, I always appreciate when people get my name right. So
there you go.
I think it's always a tribute.
Thanks, Rana.
Hi, Rana, Brian, and fabulous guest. I just want to say I love the show, and though I don't drink coffee, I've never been more tempted to try a cup after hearing about the delightful shades of vanilla. I've also recently joined the Patreon, and I am loving getting an extra helping of Ask Rana each and every week. We sent you a little coffee, Christian. I don't think it's
I cannot
arrived.
Wait to get it.
I think it's in quarantine, but we're very excited.
It'll make it through. It'll make it through.
To hear what you think.
Yeah.
AskRanaCoffee.com, AskRanaCoffee.com, AskRanaCoffee.com.
That's it. Rana, I think your Zoom is skipping because you were saying things a few times.
Oh, no, I said that.
Oh, you did that. Okay,
three times fast, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's the fastest podcast ad I've ever heard.
I know. Well, We've had some feedback.
Usually they take like 5 minutes. Someone just kind of droning on about something.
Historically.
Well, oh, are you the one who sent the letter? Are you the one that sent the letter?
We got a letter.
Or a review. I know you hate long questions, but I feel like a bit of context is needed before I get into mine.
Uh-oh.
My name is Shane. I'm 27. I'm from Ireland, and I'm currently living in Vancouver.
There you go.
Shane Almost in Vancouver.
A year ago, I asked an incredible man to be my boyfriend. He's the same age as me from England, which was fun as I could make jokes about his ancestors colonizing mine.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess we know who's the top and who's the... and we probably have the most in common that I've ever had with any person. He also may be listening, as even though he's not a fan, he knows that I am, and he encouraged I write a question about all of this, so I can imagine he might be subscribed and listening at the moment.
Whoa. This is next level. Okay.
Yeah.
We're being watched.
Now we have a responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the start of February of this year, my boyfriend broke up with me. I knew something was wrong with our relationship at the time, I didn't see the breakup coming and I was naturally heartbroken. He has since explained to me that though this breakup occurred for a number of reasons, it was largely due to him not being able to cope with his seasonal depression and reacting in a poor manner. About a week later, he asked me to get back together with him. At the time, I asked him for a bit more time to heal because I was still hurt, and if I'm truly honest with myself, I was reeling from the humiliation of being broken up with as well. Of course, the healing time never really happened. Quarantine came, the world fell apart, and we found ourselves falling into an isolated, not quite a relationship and not quite a friendship thing. Fast forward to last month, and now my ex revealed to me that he had started hooking up with people. We hadn't spoken about us in a long time, and I was naturally hurt. He had felt that I wanted to be friends and was trying to move on, while I had thought we were getting closer to being together. In an attempt to try and remain friends, I asked him to let me know if he started seeing people, and he said he would. He didn't. A few weeks later, he last minute sent me a text to tell me he was going away with someone he had been seeing casually for a trip lasting 5 days.
So cool. So cash.
I felt betrayed, upset, and so angry. When he came back, we finally laid all our cards on the table and talked about everything. We both revealed that we were still in love with each other and had been reacting to what we perceived as the other person pulling away. At the end of this conversation, I requested that we take a break from one another and not see each other or communicate for a month so that we could fully figure out what we want. My God.
What?
Wow, that's intense.
That
a month?
Really, that was a poor decision. I'm sorry.
Yeah, communicate.
You were finally communicating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How you
and
got
then
here
you
was
put
not
the brakes on it? Come on,
man.
He agreed
Shane,
to my request.
Shane, come on.
I don't mean to shame Shane, but that
no,
wasn't...
No, don't shame Shane.
That wasn't
affairs
my dad.
Of the
that
heart are difficult.
Yeah. So
Shane,
here we are.
Shane. I was trying to do the thing from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's
you needed a bell for that. Sorry. Yeah.
You're right.
Keep going.
And you needed to be a little bit more withering about it.
Yes.
I never saw the show, but thank you for the notes.
You've only
well,
seen
she's
the
walking
gif.
Through the streets naked and throwing excrement at her and rotten tomatoes and saying, shame, shame, like that.
I feel like Rana, you were like the other actor like who could have played the role. You were maybe their second choice.
Yes.
Because that was really good.
I hope you mean as Cersei. I could have played Cersei.
You were the lady in Princess Bride who says boo.
If Rana isn't a Lannister, I don't know what she is.
Right.
Boo, how dare you.
All right, back to Shane.
So here we are. It's day 5 of our 1 month apart, and I think I've already come to the conclusion that I am completely and hopelessly in love with him.
Okay.
Oh, Shane. I'm so tired. I am so tired from this letter.
I
don't want to reach out to him earlier than our agreed 1 month date, as I think the time apart will ultimately be good for me. How can I best use this time to make sure my feelings are real and fully figure out what I want? I have a real fear that my love for him only feels so intense right now because I miss him. Kiss,
wow.
kiss,
wow.
Shane.
Christian, Chris, what, yep. I mean, what do we do? What do you think?
I think, I think they're reading from different books right now. They're not on the same page, and yeah. I feel like the other guy wants maybe something more open, and Shane wants something a little bit more closed. And they got to be honest about that. They need to communicate. I think the no talking thing is a bad idea. I think you got to communicate. I mean, even 5 days is a good amount of time to give you some perspective. So, I mean, reach out. But I also have a feeling like maybe the other guy is like, great, I've got a month off. I'm going to like jump around and have some fun and whatever. And then we'll get back to it and like maybe settle down. So I don't know. I think they want different things. They could both very much be in love with each other, but they need to like figure out what are the ground rules for the relationship. But they need that communication.
What are all these rules yes. and constructs that Shane has invented?
That's also
that
true.
Shane has decided something is a month or something is a week right. or we hang out but we don't hang out or whatever it is. Look, Shane, come on. You had that conversation. You had an intimate conversation where you both agreed you had feelings for each other and that you still loved each other. This was after he had his 5-day mm-hmm. getaway with yep. whoever that guy was. Right. So he chose you over that guy. He went and ran around a little bit and he came back and he told mm-hmm. you to your face he still had feelings for you. He wanted to try and make it work. And your answer was, me too, let's take a month off. You, yeah. Everyone knows.
That's weird.
When a relationship is at the breaking point and then you finally have a really open conversation, in many ways, you're never closer than you are at that moment because everything's out on the table
yeah.
and everyone's being honest. And that is where the opportunity to rebuild comes in, if you're giving something another go. But when you say, let's take a month, you actually lose the capital of that intimacy of that conversation over that month. The momentum, yeah. relationships are about momentum. And if you can't stay inside that bubble, what you're really doing is giving yourself a bunch of runway for the relationship to fall apart.
Absolutely.
And like, how are you supposed to think about what you want from a relationship if you're not speaking to that person or in it or know their behaviors or have a discussion about what you each want? It yeah. sort of seems like you're just avoiding the issue a little bit.
Yes.
And it sort of is the difference between like, I don't know, working out and thinking about working out or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just sort of feel like get in there and yeah. do this because I'm telling you, you're your own worst enemy here and you're messing it up.
And life is too short. You got to jump in. I mean, totally. If you're going to go for love, you got to take the risk of getting your heart stomped on. And a lot of times you do get it stomped on. But
he's already gotten it stomped on.
That's true.
That's the problem.
So it's already got a good callus around it so it can handle a little bit more stomping.
Yes, but...
with you.
I don't know. I don't know if I have high hopes for this working out between them because I think they might be on different pages, as you said.
Rana, you're putting negative energy out there for Shane.
Okay, I'll take it back.
Use the secret.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know how the secret
yes,
works, clearly.
Yes, says Brian.
Yes, use the secret.
Yes, use the secret, says Brian. Yes.
Tell the world that in a week you're going to get a $10,000 check and it will
and then you'll get it.
Oh, I just yes. found one. In a
oh,
week,
in two days,
I'm going to have my very own mug. Wait, I have one now.
There you go.
Oh my God. It's amazing.
It really
Miracle.
Works.
Yeah.
I think you were on different pages. I think you liked him more than, at least this is how I think you feel about it. I don't know if this is the truth of what's going on between you, but I think this is how Shane feels about it, is that he really liked this guy. He fell head over heels for him. And then he was broken up with sort of abruptly and he got his heart stomped on, but mm-hmm. he couldn't get him out of his mind and, you know, everything he just told us. But you finally got to a place where you're both on the same page. And then you said, let's take a break. That's not either. You're yeah. either in or you're out, Shane. I understand that you're trying to protect your heart and protect your feelings. The quickest way to figure this out is to just do it. And is there more pain waiting for you? Quite possibly. Or maybe there is a burgeoning, fabulous relationship where you both are on the same page. But I think he doesn't really trust this guy. Shane doesn't really trust this guy with his heart.
And that's totally fair because when they were in their sort of lockdown romance, the other guy was seeing people without telling Shane when he said he would tell them if he was doing it. So clearly there is a trust issue that needs to be addressed.
But also, that was sort of a phony baloney thing, too. They weren't in a relationship, even
right.
though they said, we're good friends who can't figure out if we want to be something or not be
but
something.
But I will say, on top of that, there is an added bit of, you got to do your due diligence right now, because dating is like on pause on a regular level because of this virus that's going around.
Yes.
So if you are shacking up with someone and you're like, you're my plus one, it's just us, that's it, and you expect that, and you're like, if you see anybody else, you tell me, because it's a health thing now.
Absolutely.
It's like you're breaking that trust on a social level for that virus. Like, the virus just ups it all. Like, you really got to be super honest.
I will also say, though, Rana, when I think I sort of felt the same way in terms of not being in a relationship with this person and also telling him that he has to tell you when he hooks up is a little bit of having your cake and eating it too. It's a little bit
right.
Sort of you're not with him, but you still know about whether he's faithful to you in something that he's not even in. And
right.
I don't know. I think that, listen, I think seasonal depression is sort of, you could have come up with a better excuse? Yes, frankly.
Well, in Vancouver, it's a real thing because—
Oh, it is.
Okay. Yeah, Vancouver has very mild weather, very rainy a lot, sort of like Seattle. It's like a couple hours north of Seattle. And so the clouds, there's mountains really close to the city, and the clouds hug the mountains, and it's cloudy and rainy a lot, which means that you don't get a lot of big sky or big sun. It's just like damped down with clouds. So a lot of people get really, really bad seasonal.
These guys are English and Irish.
That's true. But when, honestly, when Christian put it like that, I got depressed. Even then, that is a lot to handle.
It's very gray around here sometimes.
I think seasonal depression is real, but I also think part of the issue when you're a depressed person is that intimacy, even though it feels like the solution to your problem, can also feel like an incredible burden, because there are just days where you just can't get out of bed, or you just mm-hmm. can't do it. And there is an expectation from someone when you're in a relationship that, don't I make you happy enough? Or what if we get up and we do this? What if we do that? And people who have true depression, that can feel like such a burden.
That
and
is
not,
true.
Even though mm-hmm. it's a beautiful gift and what everybody really wants in their life, depression is something you really have to deal with on your own.
That's true.
And hopefully
you've said that.
No, I mean, we don't know the levels of
this. We forget, though.
Brain.
Yeah, we also always
we
forget
to... We also
don't
know if that was an excuse or it wasn't an excuse. I mean, yeah, we really don't know.
It's like us, like, laughing at Kanye West because he's insane, and then you're like, oh, no, wait, he actually has mental
Something's
health problems,
wrong.
And we shouldn't be, like, shitting
no,
on him for, like, going,
serious what's going
off
on,
the handle.
I will
yeah.
say this, that right now, Shane, and I do, you're right, I should not have gone there with seasonal depression. It is a real thing, and I, frankly, am ready to, you know, give money to it.
And it's not a thing in LA, right? Because there's just sunshine all the time.
But I also don't think you said anything wrong. That's what he told Shane was the problem.
But
we don't know if that's the problem.
But what I want to say is right now, Shane is starring in a movie that Rana would hate. That's what I'm saying. Because right now, Shane, you are...
So true.
You are pushing and pulling for no reason. You are Jack Tripper walking in the wrong door, and someone overhears the wrong thing. Like, that's what's going on here.
I mean, I want to watch that. That sounds great.
I kind of do too, but she does not.
It drives me insane. And misunderstanding drives
me
insane.
So listen, if you want Rana to participate and watch this movie, you just need to tell him now how you feel. Forget about the month. That's a rule you made up for yourself for arbitrarily, and just say it.
But you also get to decide that you don't trust this guy, that you know you're going to get hurt, and that you don't want to be in a relationship with him. I mean, you do, but it's one or the other. But whatever this, my friend has to tell me what he's doing, and you were going to tell me if you met somebody else, and now I'm hurt by that. You're not together. You are together. I mean, you finally had this conversation where you defined it.
Mm-hmm.
They finally spoke to each other and said, I'm still in love with you. The next day should have been day one of that relationship starting over.
Totally.
Not see you in a month.
Yeah.
This guy, Shane, has an idea that he needs to be chased and put on a pedestal, and the only thing this guy ever is going to want. And wouldn't it be nice if life really worked that way? But the reality of a relationship is not just the chase and feeling like a prize. I mean, you can feel that day all day. You can feel that way all day, every day in a relationship, but it has to be built on more than just I'm irresistible. That's the beginning of a relationship.
Yeah, stop overthinking this. Christian, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that the only thing that sticks with me is if he asked the guy to tell him if he was seeing other people, because they were like, are we, aren't we? But if you're seeing other people, just tell me, just let me know.
Yeah.
And he totally didn't, and then admitted later that he was seeing other people. That's a red flag.
Also, dating someone casually and then taking a 5-day trip with them is like, that is next level.
During the quarantine.
5 days isn't a weekend.
But that's during COVID that guy did all of that.
Right.
Though I guess they're in Canada. Maybe
the numbers are
better.
Very low up here, like very low. But they're still, I think, being quite cautious.
Yeah.
But,
I think everybody has to be a little bit, have a little bit more courage and be a little bit also, have a little more courage about your own feelings, but also be a little bit more realistic about the red flags. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And also, I have to say, you said that you've never met anybody more like you that you felt more bonded with. Sometimes that person ends up being a friend, not the person that you're in a romantic relationship. Someone that you have that much in common with. That's
I don't think I want to date myself.
Isn't your romantic partner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There could be a little bit of twinning going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brian.
Can I ask a Canadian pronunciation question?
Yes, of course.
Do you say applicable or applicable?
Applicable.
Okay. What do you say?
What do you say?
I don't know.
Yeah. I say applicable.
Okay.
Applicable. Although I'm like, I've Americanized quite a bit. I had to get rid of my Canadian accent. They like trained it out of us.
All the time.
I'm in California all the time, but in theater school, they like trained the Canadian accents out of us.
I can't imagine how strong that Canadian accent was, because it's still
hard, eh? Like totally talk like this usually and get no to the host having a good time.
No, I did not sound like that.
You went to Upper Canada College with Moose Musselman and Adam O'Byrne. And I know that's not what they would teach. Brian claimed he didn't know who Moose Musselman was.
Well, do you want to know? Can I explain to Christian why I didn't know who Moose Musselman was? Because he introduced himself to me as Andrew. So that's why I didn't think I had met Moose Musselman, because how could I know?
Fair enough.
In fairness, I'm the only person that calls Moose Musselman Moose Musselman. Some people call him Moose, but I call him Moose Musselman.
I have never called him Moose. I have never once called
him
Moose.
And no one's explained why anyone calls
I call him Muscles.
Why does anyone call him any of those things? Truly, was it like a nickname in college?
Musselman.
His last name is Musselman.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Andrew Musselman.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Moose Musselman.
Very talented man.
Very talented. He's very gifted actor.
I don't know how you feel about this, Christian, but he's married to a man.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's good. I love that. Was my test.
Yeah. I tried to do some dramatic tension there as if I was like, oh shit, is he against this?
What's he going
to
say?
Oh, no, he's not.
Oh, we forgot to tell you, this is a very far right podcast.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Okay. Hi, Rana and Brian, and guest, if applicable.
Yeah. It is applicable.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Applicable.
I feel like I was going to say applicable.
Who says applicable?
Who says that? That's not right.
But I thought that's what I was going to say.
Well.
Applicable.
Now I know.
All right.
And I know that 2/3 of North America says it's applicable.
It's like adult and adult.
At least 2/3 of the people in this room say that it's applicable.
Yeah. How do you say this word? I-N-S-U-R-A-N-C-E.
Insurance.
What do you say, Rana?
Insurance. You say insurance because you're from Texas.
Is that a Texas thing?
I didn't know. That must be.
Yeah.
Insurance. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Insurance.
Insurance. Yeah.
Insurance.
Okay. You have no idea how comforting your show is during these difficult
times. I was taking Trump's cognitive test there for a second. I didn't know if I was going to be. I had myself counting backwards from 100 in sevens the other day to see if I could do it.
Yeah. That is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have no idea how comforting your show is during these difficult times. I've been a huge fan of you both for years. You two perfectly complement one another. Rana is sensible and aspirational, whereas, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Brian is whimsical yet grounded. Oh, I'll take it. And the advice is always insightful, direct, and concise. I apologize in advance for my letter, which I am afraid is not concise.
Oh, another one.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Some years ago, my partner and I hired an
Everybody's in quarantine with a quill.
Oh,
and
yeah.
a candle. They're all writing tomes.
So much time
and then
to write.
Sending them to us. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Some years ago, my partner and I, and by the way, I just want to say the world has already had a Jane Austen for all you Quill writers, and she ended up dead, so I wouldn't go down that road.
She ended up dead.
Be a Dickinson. Be an Emily Dickinson and just write snappy poetry.
Yeah,
nice and short.
Be an Emily Dickinson and kill yourself.
Yeah,
exactly. Kill yourself. Right, yeah. No kidding. Some years ago, my partner and I hired an old friend of his to do the landscape design for the house we just bought. We'll call the landscaper Monty.
My great partner,
Monty.
Monty. Like Monty Musselman.
Yeah.
My partner and Monty.
Oh, that's
been
a cute name for a dog, Famous. If he gets Monty's a dog, cute. He should name it Monty. That's Monty cute. Musselman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
My partner and Monty had been close, but their relationship sort of cooled because although Monty is fun and funny, he's a major flake. He's hard to pin down, tends to cancel plans at the last minute. Or he'll text from a bar or restaurant and insist we join him spur of the moment for a Bloody Mary. We rationalized hiring
him. Must be
him.
From L.A.
Yeah. We rationalized hiring him because his immense talent outweighed his idiosyncrasies. The yard turned out beautifully. Pea gravel, rosemary, rose of Italian cypress, olive trees and terracotta.
Now it is Jane Austen.
Excuse me.
You get the idea.
Yeah. Under a Tuscan sun.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Monty, however, proved to be flaky and unreliable. And yet during the whole process, he and I became friends. Some people were asking who did our garden. And based on the work he'd done for us, Monty got at least half a dozen other jobs from it, one of which was for a celebrity whose house ended up in a top shelter publication. Shelter.
Oh. No, he means like Architectural Digest. Shelter is also a magazine, so maybe it was in there.
In a top shelter publication earlier this year. I would joke that as a thank you, maybe he could come by and hand trim our boxwood balls and pinch the geraniums. And he did, as long as I provided a cocktail.
Okay.
Meanwhile, when the shelter in place was loosened, we would have one or two people over for a social distance drink in the garden. Monty would hint around for invites, wondering why he was not being included. I explained because we're not having a party because of COVID. It's a small thing. If he would like to come by for a social distance thing on his own, we can set it up. But because of his history of flakiness, making plans has always led to his famous last-minute cancellations. I've always been upfront with how I felt about him about his flakiness. I've always been upfront with how I found his flakiness frustrating. Mm-hmm. So several weeks ago, he came by to give the garden some attention that it needed. This person. However, as he worked, he broke out his power hedge clippers and started sawing and hacking away at mature. I'm going to say it this way. Sawing and hacking away at mature branches, privacy hedges, and other shrubs.
Are you going to check your schedule while you're at it?
Yes. It was traumatizing, like a hurricane had come through. He claimed He claimed it was because the plants needed it to promote new growth. Well, the fact that he didn't prepare us for how mangled it was going to look led to an expletive-laden shouting match. And since then, I've iced him out. In the weeks since the incident, I've actually gotten more annoyed with him. His tearing through the garden feels like an act of revenge for not being invited to drinks things. I feel like I'm done with his crap, and I now know why my partner and Monty had sort of split ways. I'm thinking our friendship has run its course. I don't like confrontation, but do you think I need to formally break up with him? Instigating a conversation with someone to inform them that you're not interested in continuing a friendship and detailing why feels like a reality TV scene. Is that, by the way, so does a screaming match in a garden over hedges. But do you think I need to formally break
boxwood balls?
Seriously. Instigating a conversation with someone a reality TV scene. Is that something people actually do, or should I just distance myself from the friendship? I look forward to your wisdom and advice. Please don't use my name.
Does it say where this person is?
No, it doesn't.
I just want the geography in my head. I want the picture to be right.
I think it has to be Los Angeles if they say
it has to be.
Okay. But maybe it's either Los Angeles or New York, I suppose. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I guess there are other parts of the country.
You're not going to have hedges in New York, though, unless you're very rich, at which point you'd probably hire someone better.
Yeah, the Hamptons.
The Hamptons, sure. Yeah. Ghost him.
I couldn't
get out of here.
Yep.
Ghost him. He knows you're not happy with him if you had an expletive yelling match in the garden next to the peonies or whatever, yeah. peonies or the however pea it's gravel. Pronounced. The pea gravel. He knows what's up. Ghost him and then, you know, let time heal it if it does at all.
Now I'm thinking this was Montecito.
Oh, maybe. Mm. Brian, what do you think?
I'm with, look, you know, I was with Chris until yeah. just when I started talking.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Because this is
fill
another,
us in.
Well, this is another opportunity. As far as I'm concerned, you have two options. One is ghost, and the other is reality TV. And I say, lean into
what?
That. And
you're
say,
leaning into the drama?
Yes, I would say.
Who, Brian?
I would say, Monty, I need to talk to you privately in public. That's how I would start it.
This episode started with Brian telling me that he used to be late for tap class at NYU and that he would dash through Union Square in his tap shoes and shorts. Oh,
that's amazing.
And that was
how short were the shorts?
But they were like, what were we doing at the time?
Like it was 80s like gym shorts, like Magnum PIs?
It was a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, it was between a short and a capri.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So oh, like were, a basketball short?
Oh, so, yeah. Like a bad sort of like Long bloomers. Beach.
Yeah, like a basketball short. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not okay. like a Long Beach Sublime, no. you know, length below the knee cargo
jorts.
Short.
No. Jorts.
Yeah, shorts.
Yeah. yeah. No Santeria.
Okay,
so,
got it.
Okay, so what I would say is I need to talk to you privately in public, and I would have the biggest COVID gathering you can think of outside his house, and I would cut up his shrubs and then say, Christina, bring me the axe, which is a line from Mommy Dearest, and start chopping down his wood is a way you could go.
Wow.
Or I would wow. say, Monty, hey, Monty, ha, funny, I was reading the other, hold on, Monty, ha, funny, I was thinking the other day, I was watching a little movie called A Place in the Sun, and I read about Montgomery Clift, and I couldn't wait to see what happened to his career because it suddenly dropped off. And then I heard about a car accident where Elizabeth Taylor had to run to his rescue and pull him out of the car in the hills. His face got so fucked that he didn't work for decades. And all I'm wondering, Monty, is if that part runs in the name.
Meaning oh, you're going to push Monty off a cliff. Is that what's going on?
I'm going to do a Death Becomes Her. I'm going to pour vodka bottles
oh,
all
death
over him.
Becomes Her.
Wedge his foot on the gas and mm-hmm. drive off.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I would say ghost him.
The problem isn't, should he ghost him or shouldn't he ghost him? The problem is Ryder is still furious about the over trimming of the hedges, and he wants to know if he did it on purpose. He wants to know if that's what happened.
He didn't. Do you?
He's got to see. He's got to see if these things grow out better, and if they were just being pruned. I mean, you do have to prune a bush.
It's true, but that is psychotic. To like that really is like. Psycho to really destroy someone's property
right.
because you weren't invited to a party. That's what that means.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I don't really know because I don't know enough about the landscaping situation here, whether it was called for or wasn't called for to do this overclipping. I don't know whether this guy knows enough because he doesn't know anything about landscaping. He just knows what looks nice. But Monty's the expert. It is true. I mean, whatever. You go to Europe in the wintertime, every branch mm-hmm. is bare. Everything is cut back.
Everything's pruned down.
And if this is the kind of classical, you know, controlled garden that you're describing, then this is a thing that happens.
But did it happen just now?
It doesn't
like at this
usually
time of year?
Happen right. at this time of year.
Yeah.
It usually happens earlier in the year so that it grows in the spring and in the summer.
I've never mm-hmm. heard of, you're right, a summer shave on a garden.
That's when yeah. you're enjoying the garden.
Yeah.
Good point.
In all its bushiness.
And I think, I mean, Monty is an artist and probably an alcoholic. And
definitely an alcoholic. And,
oh, yeah.
I feel like that name goes, that just reminds me of like suddenly last summer or something. You know what I mean? Just like gin-soaked.
Yeah. Yeah. And he
does
has,
anybody else have an image of Monty like doing garden work but still wearing a cravat and like a blazer?
100%. Okay, I see him as sort of like a foppish,
yes,
Rupert Everett type is what I picture.
For me, he's like Rupert Everett, but he's wearing a linen shirt that's unbuttoned all the way to the navel.
Oh. So I had very dirty, rotten scoundrels in my
it's
head.
It's the same too. Guy you're imagining, but my guy is on Ibiza.
Oh, very nice.
Or he's in Corsica, or he's
Santorini.
So he's an Englishman abroad working on the garden, my guy.
All right.
So he's got extremely pink skin.
I don't.
Or leather. Or just leather. Like
the
or
problem
really
is
dried
that the letter writer
skin.
Wants an answer about whether he he wants him to admit that he purposely shaved down these things. And I do think
he
Monty probably
will.
Has a touch of bipolar disorder or personality disorder or something. So I wouldn't really put it past him to have done that. But it is what's done is done. And I think Monty's a lovable scoundrel is really the case. But he's a volatile personality. So if you want him out of your life, then you
get a new gardener.
Then you don't talk to him. But if you want him in your life, you do talk to him.
If you think this person did this on purpose, I would have nothing to do with him ever again because that is really crossing a line.
But this is everything with Monty. This is everything with Monty.
What is?
He's up, he's down, he comes, he cancels, it's a roller coaster ride.
Mm. True.
If you find that he is most parts love, I mean, look, these are messy relationships, but some people like this kind of thing and don't mind, or he's very lovable in certain ways and we feel attached to him, but so we don't mind being terrorized by him or whatever it is. But if you're done with him, there's nothing really to discuss and you're never really going to get a satisfactory answer from him. And also now you know what he's capable of. So even if you get to an even place with him, it doesn't mean that this couldn't happen again.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
Ronna,
I'm
begging you that we do one more. Just this last one. It's very short.
We have to do this one. And we're actually, if it's okay with Christian, we're going to do two more quickly.
Yeah.
Because one I think two could really help with. And the other is... I think Brian actually wrote all the letters today. And I can prove it by reading this next letter.
You know, I have had all these problems.
I think Brian is the letter writer of all of these letters today. Dear, this is the only person I can imagine writing this letter. Actually, not writing it, but you are the perfect person to answer this question,
I can't wait. And I actually think Chris will also be able to answer this one well.
I cannot.
Oh, okay, great.
This might be my favorite question that we've
Holy shit.
Because I feel like America is the only country that prioritizes shower as the number one method to bathe.
So much to this question
it's
in my bones right now, this question.
All right.
Dear Ronna and Brian and guest. Brian with a capital Y, another honorarium.
Thank you.
I live in a gorgeous apartment in the center of a big city. It has everything except a bathtub. I've always been a bath person and rate a good soak with a glass of wine as one of the greatest pleasures in life. I was recently at a friend of a friend's place, and when I used their bathroom, I saw that they had a huge white marble tub.
Wait, you said a friend of a friend?
A friend of a friend. Okay. That's very important. Place. And when I used their bathroom, I saw that they had a huge white marble tub. I'm not exaggerating much when I tell you, think Oprah's tub. In a gorgeous bathroom.
Wow.
I haven't been able to get this tub out of my mind. What's the most polite way to ask if I could use their tub?
Not where I saw it going.
Parenthetical. Obviously, I'd clean afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
Is it gauche to offer to pay?
Okay.
Can I even ask? I don't know this person well. They seem friendly enough. Although I've only met them a few times. He's a bit serious, but he has a gorgeous split-level converted warehouse. Excuse me. Don't use my name in case I'm being absolutely insane. Signed, Seeking a Good Soak in Sydney.
Christian, what do you think?
I can't even. I think
you have the richest listeners ever, first of all.
Truly.
This episode we do.
Well, this person does live in
a... They said they have a great apartment in the middle of the city.
I am reeling from this question.
This is hard.
You're the kind of person who has an allergy to this sort of question, Rona.
Oh, man. If it was a friend, no problem. Go over and bathe at your friend's house. Have a great time in that massive white marble tub. No problem. Give it a clean. Give it an ask. No money. It's such a weird request that I think friends would be like, what? I guess. Like, worst case scenario, they'd be like, that's weird. But yeah, you can come over and have a soak in my bath. I would let someone soak in my bath. I would probably clean it first because I'd be embarrassed. I'd be like, oh, it's got to be spotless.
I can't even handle this. Okay, go on.
But a friend of a friend, you need to court this friendship. You need to become a friend, not just a friend of a friend. So okay, let's strategize here. We need to get this person in that tub.
Oh, my God.
We have to. Rana, they came to us for help. They want to be in that tub.
You're right.
We're going to get them in that tub. Let's do this. Oh. You need to grow this friendship with this friend of a friend.
Yes.
Let's call him Marble Tub. You need to like court Marble Tub's friendship and butter him up, you know, try and find some way to get these three friends, everybody together, strike up some conversation, talk about stuff, talk about architecture and house design. You know, it's going to take time, but you can get in that tub. Get in that tub, Sydney. Have a soak.
I think that's excellent advice. And I would also add to that, that I do, Rana, as a tub user, which I am, I love a tub.
Yeah.
There really to me is no better experience. I would say this. Do what Christian just said. You've got to get in with this person.
Yeah.
And if he's serious, he'll think the whole idea is funny.
Yeah, split level warehouse. They've got a sense of humor. Come on,
but the
he's
next
very
time,
serious. He says he's a bit serious.
Oh, he's
but
a bit
the next
serious.
Time Ooh. You're over there, and everyone has a snifter. Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
a snifter. Sure, yeah.
So pour him a snifter, and pour yourself a snifter, and
bring snifters in case.
Yes,
you know.
Show. Make sure you're wearing snifters. Something that shows your legs, and it's not going where you think. I'm not going to say you should seduce him. I don't. But and where if you have long hair, wear it like kind of Veronica Lake style, where like, the hair is covering one of your eyes, but you're very sexy. And while you're smoking your cigarette and drinking your Siffner, and everyone says, "Oh, I have to go check on the backyard," or whoever's there, they go to another room, and you say, "God, you know, I would kill to use that tub," and then look at him.
They would think that you're hitting on them, though.
Yes,
then you put your hair to the back, and you say, I mean it. I would.
No, but that's even sexier.
Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right. So I think you just
you got to do it in a non-sexy manner.
I think you just say to your friend, oh, this is what you do. You say to your friend,
I don't even know what this show is anymore.
I'm going through a really hard time, or my birthday's coming up, or make something and just say, you know what? The only thing that would make me happy is to take a bath in your friend's tub.
Back spasms. Epsom salts. Make it a physical thing. Make it a like, oh, I pulled a muscle in my
first of all
glute.
I am with Chris though. You have got to get in that tub.
Make it medical. Yep. Get in that tub.
If you're such a tub lover and you have such a gorgeous apartment, why did you take that apartment? I would rather live in a house that was 2,000 square feet less than my current house and have a gorgeous tub.
Maybe tubs
no
are
tub.
Rare in Sydney.
I doubt
it. Is
it.
A big city. I mean, in other words, it is like a, you know.
But maybe people
like
are crammed
York,
into smaller
like New
apartments.
York,
sure.
You can't get in a tub.
Yes.
I sort of doubt it, but maybe.
I don't know. Even New York has tubs.
That's true. In New York, they have that junior bathtub, which
I
is the
hate
worst
that.
Thing
that's true.
In the world.
It's really deep, but it's like you have to.
You can't. Oh, your God. Your chest. You can't use it.
That's like for old people who are sitting on the edge of the tub and washing themselves.
To have a New York. It's really a foot bath, is what it is.
Yeah.
But to have a. Real true bathtub in New York is a big luxury. Big luxury. Sure. But I think there's two ways to deal with this. My personal opinion is there are things that we covet in this life that we just can't have. And this bathtub is one of those things where you should remember this bathtub as something aspirational that you would want in your life. But I think you're out of your mind to ask basically a stranger if you could take a bath in their house. That's for the first way to look at it.
I think you're saying this very, you know, you're not saying this the right way, Rana.
I've been accused of being negative this episode, and I'm fully gonna embrace it. I think this letter is insane. That's the first thing I'm gonna say. I think it's crazy. But if you really can't get this bathtub out of your mind, I agree. The next time you're over there, you should just say, what would it take for me to be able to take a bath in that tub?
Yes, get in that tub.
100%.
I am willing to bring all of my own cleaning products and pay you $500 Australian dollars to take
and
a
send
bath
us pictures of
tub.
Your feet
yes.
in the tub.
Please we send need us a picture. Of the tub. Yes.
And that guy yes. might laugh and say, if you want to take a bath, take a bath. Or he might yeah. say, that's the craziest thing I've ever. He's either a person that's going to allow someone in his tub yeah. or he isn't.
I feel you like will, he's going to say yes.
You will either never be invited back there again, or you and he are going to become friends because he's going to find it charming.
Rana.
Yeah.
I want to practice it with you.
Oh, God.
Rana.
This is a good yeah. idea.
What would it take for me to get in your tub?
In my tub?
Yeah.
Do you have a tub, Rana?
Oh, come
Rana,
on.
I
have Oprah's tub. I have Oprah's tub.
Rana.
This is like they're practically describing my tub. I only believe in a tub, not only, but it's very important to me that there be a view. I like a view from a shower and a view from a tub.
So what will it take for me to
and
get
a view from the toilet?
And a view
from
you want to take a bath in my okay. tub, Brian?
Yes.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I have a really nice apple cucumber body wash that I got.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Fine. You can't. Well, the first rule would be you can't bring any of your own scents. That would be the
what?
The
no,
first
but that's
rule.
Half the fun.
Yeah, I just you could discover a new scent that you love.
I've taken in a bath in other people's bathtubs before.
Yeah, with
because
them in
I
it
love
or without them.
When I was very young, if I had had a couple of drinks, when I was wild in my 20s,
Rana.
I loved to take a bath at the end of the night. And so I love, and I, even now, if we go out on the town, if I come home to the hotel, I always have to have a soak at the end of the night.
Ooh, it's all getting right. hot in here.
Here's our last
very,
one.
I had a very
my
cute,
chambray shirt is getting a little
I had a very cute. I had a very cute tush in those days, so people didn't mind. I would turn over and I would swim like a little mermaid. It was fun.
How big was this tub?
Yeah. No, but you know when you sort of pretend to swim.
I like to just swim.
At the end of the night, you don't always have access to a body of water. But I also only really believe in skinny dipping. I don't know if people
yes,
know that about me.
100%.
Yeah. Not when
midnight
other
skinny dips.
Not when other people are around so much. But I really think a bathing suit.
Sometimes.
A bathing suit is extra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to be
and
on
I
a
keep my And I keep my pool heated to the temperature of a bathtub. So that's sort of how that works.
Oh.
Okay. Now, if you would indulge
come
me.
For a visit.
I received a letter from a relative of mine who's looking for advice.
Oh.
And I thought that you two could help. Brian, would you like to read this letter? Or shall I?
Sure.
I think you should.
This is exciting. Wait,
whichever. Dear, okay. Christian, do you say aunt or aunt?
I say aunt, but I have heard aunt quite a bit. I think that's more of a British thing, isn't it?
It's aunt,
like aunt,
Rana.
Auntie.
Well, it's a New England thing as well.
And oh, it's a New England thing?
A New England
okay.
thing. I say aunt as well. Dear Aunt yes. Rana, I'm worried that my game is suffering because of the coronavirus lockdown. As you know, I'm only 10, and I don't want a girlfriend just yet. Who's this, your niece? Nephew.
My nephew.
But I'll be in middle school soon, and I feel like these are key years when I should be getting some reps with the ladies to prepare me. Instead, I'm stuck at home all day with my little sister and my awkward parents. Any advice so I don't seem like a crazy chicken when I eventually return to school and encounter real live girls? Love, your nephew. And you're going to tell me what the name here, Rana.
Elihu.
Elihu. What a cool name.
P.S. Any idea what Yadvina's... They spelled it Yadvina, Rana. Any idea what Yadvina's family did during the war? Yadvina's, Rana's, right hand, right?
Cleaning lady.
P.P.S. Cleaning lady. Okay, fine. P.P.S. Is cousin Jordan... gay. Rana,
there's a lot.
inappropriate.
A lot in this letter.
What are you going to... Well, okay, Ronna, I don't know what to... Any advice? Christian, do you have any
advice? Why don't we just deal
on-
with yes. part one? Because part, the PP and the PPS are so... This kid is really cheeky. He thinks he's got a real cheek, and he's funny sending me a cheeky letter like this. So,
Well, I would also like to know what Jadwiga's family did.
Well, no, yeah. I think we all know what Jadwiga's family did during the war, and she's paying for it now by cleaning my bathtub. But
wow!
In any event, I thought two cool guys like you might have a little advice for a 10-year-old. Excuse me. Can you believe this, that he's worried about this at this age? Feels real, a little young
to me.
This is fresh. That's exactly right. He's fresh.
Yeah. Stay fresh. Stay fresh, first of all.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan of fresh children, but yeah.
Well, I went to all-boys school until university, essentially, because I went to UCC and then I went to military school for 4 years.
That's right.
And so when I got to university, I felt like I was on a high school level of trying to talk to girls, and it was a nightmare. Like, I was just... So all I can do is give him advice based on what not to do, let's say. So...
That's valuable.
Yeah. You gotta go for it. At the end of the day, you can't be, like, nervous and, like, sitting back. You gotta go for it. With respect, with class, you got to be always thinking of what the other person wants, but you got to be like charming and personable and interesting and outgoing, and you got to be a little bit bold. We should be teaching boys consent and how to be like a good, proper person and not promoting things like, oh, just go for a kiss or something like that. Like, no, we got to like teach men to be better for the future. So this is a good teachable moment. This is an important moment.
What I would do...
No, go ahead. I was going to say, don't be ashamed, is what I was going to say. Yeah.
If this were me, and I were 10 years old and having trouble talking to girls, do what I did. Bring in an Us Weekly and say, who do you think wore it best? And then say, if you haven't seen it, you've got to check out All About Eve. I watched it with my grandmother this week, and I couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
So you could do something like that. You know, find common
ground. I watched it with my grandmother this summer.
True story. So you could do that. Or you could say, like, you're not going to believe this, but I just finally learned how to make a croissant.
And whoa.
I'd love to show
yeah,
you.
Yeah, get cooking. Learn how to cook.
There you go.
Don't go to Cosmopolitan to learn what you know, romance or this is a bit early, sex tips or anything like that. That's like really weird. Just
please.
This is like high school stuff. Come on. This is high school stuff.
You're right.
Elihu is 10 years old.
You know what?
He obviously is a little precocious. He's a little precocious because he's being fresh right now and asking questions about this.
Mm-hmm.
And his mind is a little bit in a place that maybe we thought we would wait a year or two till it was in that place. But here we are.
Here we are.
But Ronna, if you were once a little girl, what do
you
think?
I was once a little girl. What is it again?
No, I said you were once
like
a little
I was
girl.
Hatched out of a dinosaur egg. I love this. Here's what I think about everything in life. You have to be confident in who you are. Other people find confidence attractive. You have to accept the fact that in life, you're not going to get everything and everyone you want. So there will always be heartbreaks and disappointments along the way. But as Chris was saying, you have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you have to go for it at every turn. And go for it doesn't mean being aggressive. It just means giving it a chance. And
one tip that I think always makes you stand out from the crowd is if you're
tap shoes and gym shorts.
Sure. But also, if you're the first person in your class to start smoking, odds are that at least a few girls will.
Okay, well, he's
cool.
Not
do not
smoke.
Listen to that advice.
He's
that is the worst advice
smoke.
I have ever heard.
Don't smoke.
No, don't vape don't either. Smoke. No vaping.
You should be
no vaping
you
either.
Should be confident that you're a cool, smart guy that has a lot to offer. And so you shouldn't be nervous about talking to girls. They're just as nervous and they want to be talked to. They love it. They love it when the boys come over to talk to them because everybody is terrified at this age,
yeah.
But most boys are really terrified. And so it's always the confident ones that make a mock. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say, which is very common and had to avoid, but kids tease each other, and that's how they get attention at these ages. You don't have to tease girls to get their attention. You can just be confident and funny and compelling and have
all
something
the other boys are doing that.
To
you're
going to
stand out.
Nobody really likes it when someone's mean to them. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean you can't be funny or you can't have a little back and forth banter. Work on your conversational skills. Because girls really like it when people show they're interested in them. That's what really girls, when you show that you're interested and focused on someone, girls really respond to that, I think. And also, you want a guy that's more than just a guy that kicks a ball against a wall. You want girls like guys that are funny.
Yeah.
You do, and smart.
Could he bring a game or something? Like Jax or Candyland?
Yeah, it's always good to have, you know, something to offer, whether it's a game or
funny. Funniness, humor always wins out. Yeah. If you're confident and funny and you have a quick wit, and it sounds like this kid does.
He does.
Then
he's very
it doesn't matter
smart,
what you look like. It doesn't matter anything. If you make them laugh, they're going to be, they're in. They love it.
Because they it's feel true. Like relaxed and safe and excited.
Yeah.
That goes for anybody. Boys, girls, everybody loves a good sense of humor. And nobody really wants to feel, especially when you're really, really young, wants to feel embarrassed or scared. So if you make people feel comfortable and have a laugh.
Is it too much of a move to buy someone something from like the vending machine?
You don't want to get into a transactional relationship where you're the guy that just has stuff all the time. Because
then you're set up,
then
you're setting up to be a sugar daddy.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I want to say the other thing is Chris was just saying that it wasn't until he got to college that he really had to start learning how to talk to girls. And Brian, maybe that was the same for you. I don't know what your high school dating life was like.
Oh, so apt.
No, but I don't know whether you didn't start dating boys till you got to college or what.
I didn't start dating boys till college. Yeah, that's right.
But I know it feels like quarantine is the end of the earth and that everybody is so stunted because of what's happening. First of all, everyone's in the same boat. Everyone is, so really you're not behind in any way because everyone in your grade is behind because you're all at home. So it's not like all the other, it's not like you have scarlet fever and all the other boys are running around and meeting girls and going to dances and whatever else. You're not, you know, laying on a Victorian fainting couch right now. Everybody's in the same boat. That's first of all. Second of all, life deals all kinds of hands to people. And there are boys that go to boys only school or boys only camp or whatever, and they don't socialize with girls or boys, which whatever you're interested in, until later. And so everybody has a little, everybody's on a different trajectory and on a different pace. Accept where you are. Watch a couple of fun movies. Maybe your parents can suggest some fun movies that model good relationships for boys and girls or whatever. But mostly, you're 10. You're not behind the eight. He's also a very smart, ambitious kid. So he probably already thinks, well, I better figure this out because I want to be an
ace. He probably has like a list of girls and he's like, okay, I'm going to prioritize this one. If this doesn't happen, I'm going
to
go for her.
He wants
he's
to be
just
an
organized.
A student at this also.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it as it comes.
It's great advice.
Yeah. Okay, we've got to do our giveaway.
Okay, so Chris, every week we give a giveaway to someone who has written in who we think deserves a prize. There's no criteria. Yeah. It's just from your heart, which of these listeners do you think should,
now,
win?
Oh.
Should get
this prize? This week's giveaway actually is a great giveaway for any of these people. Because
including the child runner?
Including the child, actually. This week's giveaway, I didn't really think of him as being in the running because we're related, so I was worried that I didn't want it to seem like nepotism. But but I suppose he is in the running because he's one of the questions. Ellie,
yeah.
You.
Okay.
This week's giveaway is a McConnell's ice cream gift card. So somebody at home can order themselves a couple of pints of McConnell's ice cream to be delivered to their home.
What? And it's how also do they even have that technology?
A little, it's called freezing things.
Is McConnell's across the country or is it only in L.A.?
They're in Santa Barbara. That's where they're located. And then they have it in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they have the most delicious ice cream. And so you can get a couple of pints.
Can I tell my story really fast in 10
Absolutely.
Seconds? Barbara Streisand.
Yeah. Your story.
Lives in Malibu.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to ever have more than one pint of ice cream in her home at one time. So she makes her assistant drive to Santa Barbara for the Santa Barbara strawberry every day to get a pint of ice cream and bring it back to her.
Every day.
In fairness to Barbara Streisand.
The Malibu's not that bad.
It's not that bad for me.
In fairness to Barbara Streisand, it's a beautiful drive. And on top of that, they only have the Santa Barbara strawberry in Santa Barbara. Very occasionally, they'll have it in other shops. But that specific ice cream, it's out of this world.
I had one. I had a McConnell's at the end of my street, but they moved out. And then whenever I was in Grand Central Market in LA downtown, I'd always I would always get some.
So you can. What are your favorite? Does anyone want to say their favorite flavors so that you can give the guest a suggestion?
I'm boring. I like vanilla and strawberry.
I like anything that's like chocolate and peanut butter mixed.
Yes, they have a double peanut butter chip. They do.
Boom. Yeah. And they have a very good coffee one, or like a mocha or espresso
They have
one
a couple
really
of
liked.
Coffees. They have a Turkish coffee, you may be.
Yeah, the Turkish coffee. Yeah. Big fan of the Turkish coffee.
So that's our gift. And also, that's a little preview for the COVID Kiki. That's a great thing to order for a COVID Kiki, is some ice cream.
It sure is.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so who should get this ice cream or the McConnell's gift certificate? Should it be?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the... Why do I always blank? Okay,
Shane.
Number one, Shane.
Shane in Vancouver. Number two, Irish Shane in Vancouver.
Irish Shane. Number two, Monty's Revenge.
Oh, yes, Monty's Revenge, yeah.
Montezuma's Revenge.
Montezuma's Revenge. Uh-huh. Number three, I need a bath now.
Soaking in Sydney, yeah.
Soaking in Sydney.
Sydney Soakers, yeah.
Number four... 10-year-old.
Elihu.
Elihu. Yeah.
Elihu. All right. Okay. Well, I am going to say this. I think Irish Shane in Vancouver probably won't be able to get ice cream delivered past the border. That's out.
I'm a little
worried.
There's
going to be a customs issue.
But we could try and find, I will say this, in order to not limit your guessing, your awarding process. We can try and find the right place in Sydney or the right place in Vancouver, because I think we have a very international episode today. So it may be that this McConnell's gift card, we have to localize that. But so you should pick whoever you think really deserves it.
Look, I think your nephew deserves it. I'm going to be honest. I think
he was so fresh.
This little dude,
he doesn't deserve
this
anything.
Fresh little dude needs to go and ask a cute girl that he likes if she wants to share some ice cream. He shouldn't say where he got it from. He can say like, oh, I won it from this cool thing. But obviously if they're like, oh, what is it? And he's like, oh, this podcast. And then they listen and they're like, oh, you fresh little bugger. Maybe they'll like it and be like, oh,
he's not allowed to see girls right now. He's in quarantine.
How locked down is he?
He's in New Jersey.
He's in Jersey.
Well, Rhonda, it's still a good...
I can't believe this.
I mean, gift certificates don't expire in like a month.
Ugh, I wouldn't have given this kid... I wouldn't have given this kid anything. Brian, was that your choice too?
Yes, and Rhonda, 100%. I'd like to point out to you, he's your nephew.
Well, exactly. So I know just how fresh he is.
Well, I want to say this. I think I've met this nephew, perhaps.
Perhaps.
He's not fresh. He's actually really smart and really, I don't know, very funny. And I think I'm with Christian. What better way can you win over a girl than by being like, hey, I got the best ice cream in the country.
I was sure Shane was getting the ice cream because
he's about
to be broken up with again and he needs to sit in his bathtub.
Horrible. Rana.
Wow.
We've been too hard on Shane, but Shane needs to get himself together. He needs to pull
I just want Shane to be happy. I just want Shane
Me
to be
too.
Happy.
He's in his own way.
Shane is, to be fair, dear Shane, you are in your own way on this one. And if you really love this guy, you should absolutely see it through. But stop setting all these artificial boundaries around things and making this difficult for yourself. Either this thing's going to work out or it isn't. And it's not going to work out better because you didn't see him for 4 weeks instead of 2 weeks, so yeah. Whatever.
How yeah. cute is this? Elihu can say, "What's your favorite kind of ice cream?"
Jennifer. Oh, come on, yeah. This is great. We're helping him out. Yeah, and we're helping him, and this is going to have a lasting impression on him.
He's growing up too fast for me. That's my issue.
Yes, he is.
All right. Elihu, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you've been awarded the McConnell's gift card.
Yes.
You got All right. this.
Christian, what a thrill.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been you so much fun.
This was such a blast. What we do now is we can absolutely let you go. You've been on your feet this whole time.
But oh, that's okay.
What we do is we read a cliffhanger.
Okay.
And we have a show.
We don't answer it here.
No, we have a show on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And so we read a cliffhanger, and then if people want to know the answer, they can sign up at patreon.com/askRana. And this would be one of the pieces of one of the things that we do. Okay. Dear Rana, Brian, and guest, first, I want to thank you for making this podcast. It is a true bit of joy in this horror show of a world. I'd love to hear any advice you have on this issue. My husband's company is fully remote with employees working from home across the country, even pre-pandemic. His work is fairly independent, but he regularly works closely with a woman on the East Coast who is apparently very crafty. She shared some photos of the stuffed animals she makes with my husband, and he asked if she would make one for our 2-year-old son. I'm not 100% sure how the conversation went, but to my knowledge, he commissioned her for a cat in our son's chosen colors. He did say at the time that he would pay her for it. A few days ago, we received a package with a beautifully made, super soft, oversized plush cat. It seems like she bought fabric especially for this project because it is unlike any of the samples in the photos she sent. I also noticed the postage she paid to personally ship it to us was over $20. We sent her a video of our son opening the package and some photos of him playing with and enjoying the cat. But when my husband asked her how much she would like to be paid for her work, her reply was, psh, literally. He doesn't have her Venmo account info, but we do have her return address on the box. Is it weird/rude/out of line to send a check to this woman's house for her work, supplies, and the shipping cost? What amount do you think would be appropriate for this? Also, is this woman hitting on my husband?
Wow. Oh, what a stinger at the end.
Thanks. S.
Oh.
Burying the
lead. Yeah. Oh,
but once you've unburied that lead, you go back, read that letter again. And you can.
And I'll tell you, like a homemade cat, the yarn just comes apart. You pull one string out of that plush cat, and honey, it's letting loose.
Yep.
Oh,
like
shit.
That Weezer song.
Yes,
sure. Yep.
Yeah.
So join us on Patreon.
The sweater song?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Join us on patreon.com/AskRana for the answer to that. That is a juicy one. That's a good
And by the way, we have a real actor here, so please go watch Orphan Black on Amazon Prime. And please go watch Ready
I'm going to watch Ready
have
or
some
Not.
Fun. Watch Ready or Not. Yeah. I have another show that's out now as well.
Oh, what else is out?
Oh, what is it?
It's called Carter. It's on IMDb TV, which is Amazon's free channel. So anybody can watch it for free on IMDb TV. I think it has a couple of ads or something like that. Anyways, it's their free service. And it's called Carter, and it stars Jerry O'Connell, and I play his kind of best friend, right-hand man, as he tries to solve crimes in a small town, basically. He's like a Hollywood star solving crimes in a small town.
I love that. Yeah. I love Jerry O.
There's two seasons up right now. It's Jerry and Sydney Poitier Hartsong, who is Sydney Poitier's daughter and also an amazing actor herself, myself.
Oh, sorry.
That's it.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about Amy Carter.
No, it's
not. Oh, God.
Well, I didn't know.
It's not about Amy Carter. It should be.
Ask RanaCoffee.com, Shades of Vanilla, and Carriage House Blender, our two coffees. We want
Christian Brune. Find his work. It's brilliant work. Christian, are you a social media guy?
I am. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Mr. Christian Brune. But you got to spell it right.
Christian is KRISTIAN and Brune is BRUUN.
Correct. You nailed it.
Look
Nobody gets it
I
right.
I got it.
And I just want to say, since Brian cut me off when I was talking about my coffee, excuse me. That shipping is always free on domestic orders for coffee. And yes, that the shipping is always free. And also, if people want to subscribe to the coffee, meaning they love the coffee, they want to order it again, even if you can order it for as many times a month as you want, once a week, twice a week, three times, once a month, twice a month, three times a month, whatever it is. But if you order the subscription, the price goes down $3 a bag. So even if you get it That's once great. A month, it's a big savings. Always free shipping.
That's a great
now
idea.
Now I feel like a total P.T. Barnum for having said that. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
what can you do?
You're not enslaving elephants. I think it's okay.
We are who we
That's
are.
That's true. Big difference.
We are who yeah. we are. Christian, yeah. thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck in British Columbia.
Thank yeah. you.
Let
thank
us
you
know
so much.
What happens when you sprung from quarantine. We want to hear. We want the moose report.
I'm going to run yeah. through the hills and find the first moose I can and try to get it to hug me like that bear in Mexico.
Let me know if there it's soft. Go. Let me know if it's soft.
I will. Very felt-like.
All right, yep. dear. Kiss, right. kiss.
Thank you.